Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I say praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we want to thank you because we have this wonderful opportunity to be partakers of your divine nature. We have this glorious opportunity, O God, to hear you speak to us, to change our lives, and to take us from a place of darkness to the place of light. My Father, my God, everyone who will hear me today, O God, we experience that miracle. The light of Jesus will begin to shine upon every life here today in Jesus' name. Because your light will shine into their lives. Everything that represents the work of the enemy in their life shall be destroyed from today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
There is hope for the hopeless. There is peace to the troubled. There is joy to the one that is sad. There is strength to the weak. Lord, there is a change of position in the house. And your children begin to occupy higher ground from today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
As I've always said to you, I see it as an opportunity. A great opportunity for that matter. Every time that I stand before you to declare the counsel of the Lord, it's purely his doing. It's purely by his mercy. And I remember reading from the book of Deuteronomy, I think chapter 4. God was speaking to the children of Israel. He said, and when people see you, when you get to the land that you are going, he said, if you follow these words that I've commanded you, the people will say, what a great people you are. What a great God you must have. That God will give you such instruction, that God will give you such words, that God will have made provisions for this kind of laws for you, you know, so organized. So, and you will see, almost everywhere in the world today, the legal system is tailored or molded or modeled after the law that God gave his people. So what a wonderful and a glorious thing it is to be able to stand under the authority of the Word of God. It has the power to change lives. It has the power to change destinies. What man cannot do in your life, the Word of God can do it. And he will do it today in your life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Last week we started looking at the kingdom formula for your all-round victory. The kingdom formula for your all-round victory. That was what we started on last week. And I actually thought it would take me, I'll be able to finish it today, but when I look at what is there, I realize that it's more, it's bigger than I envisaged. Remember, we took our text from the book of 1 John, chapter 5, verse 4 to 6. 1 John, chapter 5, we read from verse 4 to 6. And that's where we're going to start from today. For whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. Who is it that is victorious over, that is, that conquers the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? who adheres to, trusting, and relies on that fact. So you are the one who conquers the world. You will conquer the world in Jesus' name. This is he who came by, that is, with water and blood, his baptism and his death. Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Not by in the water only, but by in the water and the blood. And it is the Holy Spirit who bears witness, because the Holy Spirit is the truth. So the truth of the word of God this morning is that you are an overcomer. And of course, the first thing that we overcome when we come to Christ is that we overcome our sin nature. Because there is a change of position. We move from darkness to light. And we said last week that one of the things, or one of the fundamental things that is lacking in Christianity today, is that we have Christians who don't even know, who have not come to grasp the basis of their beliefs. And we say, look, if you have a house without a foundation or a proper foundation, whatever you build upon that foundation, or the, whatever house you build, is likely to collapse. It will not be able to withstand the tough times that will come. But when a house is founded on a solid and on a good foundation, that house is sure to stand. No wonder it is not uncommon to see Christians fail by minor things, little needs, just little needs, because they have not been founded on solid foundation. Thank God we can all read and write. You know, we can read. It's good, it's easy to acquire knowledge for us. We just read something, we know it. But one of the things that God said to me, that I've said to you before, and I will say it again, is this. You cannot be said to have caught the revelation of the word of God. You cannot be said to have caught the revelation of a particular word of God if it does not produce a change in your worldview and your behavior. You may have head knowledge of it, but the day you catch a revelation of it, of that word, something will have to change about you, because the word of God will have to be accommodated. And once you allow and accommodate that word of God into your life, something will change about you. Your life will change today in Jesus' name. So in other words, I want you to quickly go through your head and remember the word of God that you know. That you do the direct opposite of it, then you haven't known that word yet. But the day you catch a revelation of that word, it brings about a change in your view on that situation. Is one of the basic things in Christianity, that we see the word of God as the ultimate and the final arbiter in every situation. I told us last week, I said when the word of God comes forth, You read the word of God, you hear the word of God, and you say to yourself, I don't understand this. I don't agree with this. I said, you are wrong and God is right. Because God is not after our opinion. He's after what? Our obedience. That when we hear his word, we are quick to realign or to align our lives with his word. We said so many things about the word. We said the word is light. Just as it shines light on your way, it also shines light at you. In other words, you become that city upon the hill that cannot be hidden. And people will start looking at you. They begin to start to look at your life. I was part of the student at the choir meeting yesterday. And the same thing was coming forth. That when you come, you know, when you minister before, when you minister looking at for direction, is your justification. When you go to the word of God, if what you are doing is in line with the word of God, ride on. Just ride on. Let the peace of God dwell in you. Because the word of God is your justification. We say the word of God is your confidence. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We say you are watered by the word. And of course, we said, let it not even happen that you consider that the enemy will have victory over you, because that's not what the word of God says. Today, I'm going to quickly go through a couple of things with us as part of the basic foundation that we need to have. There are things that we cannot replace. The first thing is the place of the word of God in our lives. The second thing is the need for us to maintain a life of righteousness. People try to tell us that in the current dispensation, the word has moved on, that it is no longer necessary, that we live a life of righteousness. Brethren, before you came to church this morning, I spoke to God and he told me he hasn't changed his position. Praise the Lord. That it is still crucial, it's as important to God as when the Bible, because the Bible says, it said, those that the Lord know those who are his. Let them that name the name of the Lord depart from iniquities. The Lord knows those who are his. And I will tell you something, I've said this before, and those who are God's, they know themselves. Let them that name the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. It is still one of the foundation things in Christian life that we live a life of righteousness. Now, the next question you are going to ask me is this: who is righteous? How do you know? Some people even say, oh, Jesus said no one is righteous. He was saying it in the context of that man asking that question, knowing that he wanted an answer. But I will tell you something, that today you will know who is righteous. Open your Bible to 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. First John chapter 3, verse 7. I'm going to read. Or maybe we should all read this together. 1, 2, 3, go. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness, is righteous, even as he is righteous. So who is righteous? Whoever does righteousness is what? Is righteous. There's no other way of saying. He said, little children, let no man deceive you. It's only the people who do righteousness that are what? Righteous. In other words, those who don't do righteousness, they are what? Unrighteous. There's no beating about the bush. He said, don't be deceived. If you see anyone that comes and say, I'm under grace, and is not doing righteousness, he's unrighteous. But if somebody comes and says, I'm under grace, and you see him bearing fruit of righteousness, he's what? He's righteous. It's as simple as that. That's what God says. That's God's verdict. He said, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. In other words, those who we care to allow the word of God to mold them, to allow the word of God to change their lives, they are the righteous people. That the moment you hear the word of God, and the word of God says there is no place for liars in the kingdom of God, you say, from today I will never lie again. Because if you lie, you are not righteous. If you offer help and do good because you want to please God, you help somebody, you have done righteousness, you are righteous. If you show mercy to somebody, you are doing righteousness. You are righteous. Remember, the first thing is this: you will have given your life to Christ. I've told us before. I said, many of us probably never had the experience of baiting an animal. To bait, you know, if you want to set trap for an animal, you put a bait there. Your salvation is what makes you attractive to God. Because without salvation, God cannot even look at you. Because he said the best of the work of our hands is like what? It's like a filthy rag. But once you come into the presence of Jesus, you have accepted him as your Lord and your Savior, and you begin to do these things, you are showing that you are righteous. When John was writing, he wasn't writing to non-believers. He was writing to people who are proclaiming that they have given their life to Christ. And he's telling them, look, if you say you have given your life to Christ and you are living in Christ, the people who are righteous are the people who continuously do righteousness. Because it is possible. It is possible for one to say it and not do it. I read a very interesting place in Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah chapter 9. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 9. You see, God knows the ways of man. That's why he decided, he said, look, only those who do it, not just those who say it, that are righteous. Not just the people who say it, but those who are doers of righteousness, doers of good deeds, who are already embedded in Jesus Christ. He says, let me read verse 8 there. That's the one that's relevant. You can go and read the whole of chapter 9. He said, look. He says, their tongue is a murderous arrow. It speaks deceitfully. One speaks peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he lays snares and waits in ambush for him. You know, in other words, we can say, except we are actually doing and be people who practice to see the good of other people, we cannot say we have loved the Lord. We cannot say we are living righteously. Has somebody got a New Living Translation? I read it in New Living Translation earlier on. Has somebody got it and read it there, please? It's so simple there. New Living Translation. Is somebody needing glasses? Praise God. What does it say? So he says it's not in friendliness alone. It says it's about what you do. It's about what you do. It's not just being friendly to people. People think Christianity, the church, is a place where you just learn to be friendly with people. It's a place where you learn to be genuinely committed to see the purpose and the plan of God come to pass in people's lives. Yesterday, we were taught about the need to love God, and that when we love God, that becomes, you know, our love for our brethren. You cannot love God and not love the one he died for. It's not possible. It comes from loving him. Why do we need to live righteous? It's so vital that we live righteous, but why do we need to live righteous? He said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." First of all, he cannot behold unrighteousness. But you need your righteousness to stay in the way you have chosen for yourself. Let's look at Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 54. Isaiah 54, I'm going to read verse 14 to 17. When I read the place, it just ministered to me. And I want it to be something that will be a guiding principle for your life too. Isaiah chapter 54, 14 to 17. It says, "In righteousness shalt thou be established." In what? In righteousness. Will you be established? That the storms of life will not be able to blow you anyhow. "In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." Now, most people quote verse 17, but we never look at verse 14. For verse 17 to be true in your life, verse 14 needs to have become true in your life. Because by righteousness are you going to be established. And it's at that point that no weapon that is formed against you shall what? Shall prosper. Because a curse without a curse shall not what? Shall not stand. In other words, if somebody decides to curse you, if there's no basis for it, it cannot stand. But if you are not living righteous, if they make pronouncement, when it happens to you, you will then start to beg God and say, "Father, deliver me." In other words, righteous living keeps you planted in the Lord. I've shared with the church before, there was a prophecy that came out here. And the first thing I did, as soon as we left the place, I told my wife as we were going, I said, "Please check yourself. Make sure that everything is okay with you." As for me, I checked myself. "Make sure everything is okay." Ask her. I told her, because I know, because if you are caught in a place where the hedge is broken, you are in trouble. The enemy will just come. He's a very merciless person. Not because God wants to destroy you, because he has no desire that any should perish. That's not the plan of God for your life. He does not want you to perish. But what happens is this: unrighteousness breaks the hedge, and the man who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, he strikes. You will not be his victim in Jesus' name. That's why when Paul was writing to the Ephesians, he said, "Haven't done all to do what? Stand." He said, "Stand therefore." after you have done everything, living in righteousness, say, make sure you are standing. You keep standing. Because if you don't stand, because the opposite of standing is what? It's falling. You are either falling or haven't fallen, or you are standing. You will not fall in Jesus' name. So, righteousness establishes you. It ensures your long-term sustenance. No wonder. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, the Bible talks about putting on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. And I say, you know, because I tried to understand what it meant. The breastplate of righteousness. Why is it a breastplate? I want you to listen to this. This is the way God explained it to me. Why do you need a breastplate of righteousness? The police in Australia, and I think all over the world, they are taught, what they've been taught in police school for defense is this. When they come in contact with somebody who is dangerous and they have to use their gun to shoot, do you know where they are asked to shoot? You shoot the broadest area of the body. Have you noticed that? That is why a lot of times they kill. They've been instructed. They shoot the broadest area. They don't. If you are holding a knife in your hand, why don't they just simply shoot your hand? You hear a lot of people, they say somebody drew a knife and the police shot them. Because they have been taught to shoot the broadest area where you are likely, where your target is. And that's why when you see people going out, they put something around their chest. Because everyone who knows that when you want to take an aim, what do you take aim at? You look at the broadest area where you are not likely to miss your target, and that's where you shoot. And God told me, what the broadest area represents is this. Is that the area that is likely to fall you as a Christian is the common area, what is common to all. Most people keep looking for the devil to appear in some exotic way. It's in the little things that is common to everyone that we have taken for granted. We just take it that everyone is doing it. And that is how he will come, because it's common to, he goes for the broadest area, the thing that is common that everybody is likely to see and count as nothing. But for you as a child of God, you cannot afford to operate at that level. See, that's why you need that breastplate of righteousness. We said the people of the church, they are the called out ones, ecclesia. Those who have been called, those who have been pulled out. And I tell people, I say, every day, the church is struggling to be like the people we have already been pulled out from. Praise the Lord. We will look at how can we adapt the church so it can be like those we have been asked to leave. We try to adapt it so it just be like them, so that there's no difference. The day I read in the Bible that's in Ecclesiastes, I think, is it chapter 10 now? It talks about the person that is placed put in a place of honor. He said, it's like a little fly that drops in the oil of the apothecary, the perfume maker. When fly drops in it, he said it gives a bad odor. He said, so it's somebody who's put in a position, in a place of honor, and who does not realize it. So it's one folly, small foolishness. In other words, as children of God, the place where God has put us is a place of distinction, is a place of honor. And each time we do not realize that we are called to a place of righteousness and there is folly in our lives, we give that bad odor and we no longer give that sweet-smelling savor that God desires. Your life will give that sweet-smelling savor to the Lord in Jesus' name. That's why the devil, he likes to use our frailties, the things that are common to us. He will not come through some exotic ways, like I told you. You see, Moses, wonderful man, Somebody said, the devil took note of him the day he got angry with the Egyptian. Right? That day that he beat that guy and killed him. The devil just put it. In those days, you know, when our parents want to send us, they tell us something important. They say, put it in your left hand, though, so that you don't eat with it. Praise the Lord. When they think something is important, the devil put it in his left hand, and he never forgot. And so when he was just about to make it to the promised land, he got him angry. Because he knew that anger was common to him. He shot him there. He will not prevail over you in Jesus' name. That's why, look, I get passionate about a lot of things, but nothing will represent God in my life. Nothing can replace God. I will get passionate about it. In fact, that's even as a Christian, do you know that if you are not careful, service can replace God in your life? It becomes the work and not God himself. And that is when you see a lot of Christians who, you know, let me tell you, I'm speaking from experience. If care is not taken, even the pastors, a lot of pastors will do this. They will prepare sermon Sunday in, Sunday out, Sunday in, Sunday out, but they will never have time to fellowship with God themselves. Read it for me. Read the Bible for me. Not read it for you. Read it for me. That I read and say, so that God will touch my life. When I read it, I take in some things. I highlight it. I take it for myself. Not because I want to come and preach to you, but because that is the way I want to order my life. Because it's so important. Because righteous living brings you peace and cause confusion in the camp of the enemy. We've just read that. That when you are in the place of righteousness, you can sleep in peace. You can begin to sleep in peace. Because he says some things. He says, in righteousness shall thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear. The Lord will prove you in Jesus' name. Remember, I told you from Numbers 23, verse 19 to 23, I told you one time, I said, the only reason why Balaam could not curse the children of Israel was because God said, I have found no iniquity in them. That's what God said. If it was one of those times that they had fallen and the man cursed them, he would have stuck. But God looked at them, he said, I have found no iniquities in them. You can't curse them. So it basically says back to sender. If you are living righteous. He said, your righteous living gives God permission to fight on your behalf. When we pray, when we come together to pray, we better be in a place of righteousness. Oh? Because that's what gives, you know, it gives God the permission to fight on our behalf. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 22. Psalm 105 verse 14 to 15. You can read. Your righteous living is God's permission to fight for you. Maybe let's look at Psalm 105 verse 14 and 15. Psalm 105 verse 14 and 15. He said, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yeah, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. He reproved kings, people in authority, for your sake. Do you know that because you are a child of God, some people stand to lose their position if you are living righteous? Some people, they stand to lose their position. I've shared a testimony with you before. But because this thing is recorded and will be on our website, I'm not able to give a vivid picture of what happened. You know? somebody who basically was eyeing a position, but they were studying, believing that once they finished, they would automatically move to that position. And one day, it happened that God gave me that position, and I was in that position. And you could see the level of opposition that was coming from that person. So one day, I told my wife, this is not imagination, this is what something the person said, the place they want to be. So it's like you are spoiling somebody's whatever. But I knew God put me in that position. So as she was saying it, and I saw the opposition rising, so one day I told my wife, I said, this young woman wants to put herself in trouble. I said, she wants to put herself in trouble. She said, what happened? I said, because she's opposing me, this is what she has done. This is what she said. This is what she did. I went on leave in that place. And by the time I came back, it was like the whole service was upside down. And it was all about her. And I'm telling you, they did not let her rest until she resigned her appointment and left that service. If you are in that place of right living, the Bible says he rebuke kings for your sake. He will rebuke those who will stand in your way in Jesus' name. You will fulfill your destiny in the mighty name of Jesus. It's one of those things. We cannot forgo righteousness. Nobody wants to preach it anymore. But we cannot afford not to live righteous, because that's what establishes us. And many of us know my common prayer. I always pray to God. I say, Father, that thing that would destroy my testimony, I don't want it to come into my life. That thing that would, every day I pray that prayer, that will, the situation I will get myself into, the opportunity that will come my way, that will destroy my testimony, Father, don't bring it my way. So that, you know, I've shared with you before. Maybe you are burning for God. They say, oh, brother, let's go to the beer parlor. You say, I no longer go to that place. Let's go and drink. Oh, I no longer do that. Let's do this. You say, I no longer do this. And one day, for whatever reason, you say, this way that I'm going, you know, I don't really know what's happening. And you change course. And those friends who used to invite you, and you say, look, what you are doing, I'm no longer into it. And then you go back to them. And you begin to share those things that you used to share with them again. And they will look at you, they will laugh. They say, Pastor. And you too, you will laugh. Pastor. They never called you pastor before. But now that they know that you are back in your old age, they say, Pastor. Ah, sister. And you too, you will laugh. They are mocking you because they know you are falling. You will not fall in Jesus' name. Those are the kind of things that the devil wants to see people who are falling and going back. Though the vision may tarry, I can tell you, it will surely come to pass in your life in Jesus' name. I say, though the vision may tarry, it may look like it's taking long. God has not forgotten you. You don't have to do what other people are doing to succeed. The formula is Jesus. I say your formula is Jesus. He will work for you in Jesus' name. Another basic thing about Christianity that we used to be taught in those days that no one wants to teach anymore. Is to allow God, give your life to God, allow him to change your fortune. I know that the Bible says now the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent taketh it by force. taking it by force is not part of, it's not manipulation. Taking it by force is taking it by faith. Because we know that the instrument, the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. They are not the devices of men. They are not carnal. By the time you put your head knowledge and you are manipulating situation, that is carnal knowledge. That is carnal wisdom. That is carnal. But he said that the weapons of our warfare, they are not what? They are not carnal. A lot of people, one day we went somewhere. There was this man of God. He had preached very well. He's a popular man of God. He preached very well. And it was time for it to end. And people, my wife can bear witness to this. It was time for everyone to line up, you know, and pray. But just before we line up, he said something like, oh, that they organized something, they did something. When people came to ask them, he just changed the story to... Okay. So when everyone was lining up, I just took my Bible. And I went away because I don't want to carry the wrong anointing. Allow God to have his way in your life. I will not let such a person put his hand on my head. Praise the Lord. Because if you not allow God to have his way, he said, because the weapons of our warfare, they are not what? They are not carnal. Carnal. Carnal mind, you know, is capable of devices, of different kind of devices. That's carnality. But leave yourself in the hand of God. Let him be the one to change it. Let him be the one to change your life. Let me tell you something. What looks so perfectly good to you may not be the way God wants to take you. And you think you are foolish. But God, he has a purpose. He wants to take you somewhere. But where he wants to take you, you may know. But how he wants to take you there, you don't know. I told people, when God showed Joseph the dream that everyone in his family will bow to him, did he show him that he was going to be in the pit? He didn't see that. Did he show him that he was going to be sold as a slave? No. Did he show him that he was going to be accused of rape? He didn't know. Did he know he was going to end up in prison? He didn't know. So interesting. This guy, you know, he could see. He saw the end. And that's what God does. He gives you where he wants you to go. But how you get there? Sometimes, please, my brothers and sisters, let's leave ourselves in the hand of God. So that by the time he works it out, and I'm telling you, if Joseph had left his father's house, amen, left his father's house that day, and he became the prime minister the following day in Egypt, the day he met his brother, he would have asked that he would behead them. He would not have learned forgiveness. But by the time he got to that position, look, the world has twisted him, turned him, and made what you call it, you call out of him, and made the pastor out of him. You know, I don't like pastor. So the world has turned him into pastor. And so by the time he saw those his brother, he had no option but to forgive them. Because the Bible talks about comforting people with the comfort whereby you yourself have been comforted. And I tell people, I say, if you have not gone through trials and tribulations, you cannot be useful in the hand of God. When we were in school in those days, there were people we call ajebotas. All those people who thought yams used to grow on trees. When you have not seen life, when somebody is going through something, it's difficult. It's so difficult to have compassion on them. It may be to you what you are going through. You know, one sister was lamenting to me. I said, oh, this is difficult. This is what God... I said, are you sure God really wants to change it this time? so that you will be who he wants you to be. You'll be useful to him. Open your, as we close, open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 to 9. I'm sure I've read this particular place so many times like you. And I was sharing with the people at the ordinary vigil. God was telling me about this place. I want you to read, to follow me as I read. And I want you to allow the Spirit of God to minister to you and just look at this passage differently. Okay? I'll read from verse 1. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord had anointed me to preach good tidings unto who? The meek." So, take note of the meek. "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." To who? To bind up who? The brokenhearted. "To proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Listen to this from verse 4. "And they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations, and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, but ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for your confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them." Verse 9. "And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed." Praise the Lord. Can you hear what God is saying there? Jesus said, read the same place. He said, "For God has sent me, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good tidings, the gospel to who? Those that are meek. Those that are broken hearted. What are the meek? Who are the meek? The ones who are spiritually poor. The ones who are considered to be nothing. The ones who the world will not even reckon with. The ones who do not see much of themselves. Their esteem has been battered. The world has turned them upside down. They have no hope. They have no joy. They have nothing to boast of like the rest of the people around them. Compared to their mates, their mates are prospering. They seem not to be prospering. And the Bible is saying the gospel comes to such people because they have been, you see, these are the people that have been held captive by the machinations of the world. They are the people who have been oppressed. They are the people that, you know, the world has sealed their destiny. They are the people that people are already talking about them and say, look, they can never amount to anything. And the Bible says when the gospel comes to them, that broken heart, the Lord begins to repair them. He will start to make giants of them. He said, they are the people who will start to become builders in this world. They are the people who will be what? Builders in this world. Read it very well. They are not the people who are haughty. They are not the people who will not accept the gospel. He said, those who are brokenhearted, they reject. When the gospel comes into their lives, it's going to transform their lives, and your life will be transformed today in Jesus' name. They are going to be builders. They shall raise up the former desolation, things that people are saying is impossible. All those areas where people have given up, when you touch it, things will change for good. That's the promise of God. When the gospel comes into somebody's life, it has that ability to make you a champion. It was the anointing upon the life of David that made him a champion without training. Saul, Goliath, everyone, they had been trained from childhood. He wasn't trained. Anointing is what God puts upon your life that make whatever you touch to turn to gold. Whatever you lay your hands upon to do, you will prosper in Jesus' name. He said, they will build up the former desolation, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. In other words, there are people who are carrying curses. When they meet with you, their destiny have to change. That's why I said sometimes, look, when God is taking you through something, just let him be. Because if those that have been broken like you, that God would then use, by the time he starts, you know, by the time you see what he's making of your life, you say, wow, God, this is where you are taking me to. Because you cannot be a builder. You cannot be a builder except you have learned to let God have his way. Because only those who build what God has built can succeed in their building. Because it says, except the Lord build a house, they that build it, they do what? They labor in vain. It's the same people. He says, and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen. In other words, you know, you become people who are in control. You become people who give directions. Many of us think of our disadvantages. Many of us thought about the things we left behind to come to a place like this. Who says God cannot prosper you in this land? And I'm talking not just existing, not just surviving. I'm talking about actually prospering you, and people will talk about you. The apple man, Jobs, his father was a Syrian. He got to America, he became an international. By the time he died at the age of 56, everyone is singing his praise. The father was originally a Syrian. Who says when you come here that God, you will not excel? You will excel in Jesus' name. Your children will excel in Jesus' name. Because those who are broken, that God has repaired, he put them in a place that they become relevant. Let's read verse 9. He said, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles. Among those who don't know God, your seed will stand out. Your children, they will stand out, and people will be looking at them because of the power of God upon their lives. And their offspring among the people, all that see them shall acknowledge. Have the world started acknowledging you yet? They will start to acknowledge you in Jesus' name. He said, all that see them shall acknowledge them that they are the seed which the Lord has what? Has blessed. Until people start to acknowledge, look, if you are still in the crowd, there is something wrong. God will set you aside and distinguish you that you are not just part of the crowd. Otherwise, people won't know the difference. But when God has blessed you, people will begin to acknowledge it. It's not you who will be saying it. People will begin to acknowledge and say, yes, you can see the hand of God. One day, my wife can testify to this. A brother came to me and said, because of his own circumstance, and I know his circumstance, like he knew my circumstance, he said, I just know. He said, I want to believe that. He said, all these things that are happening, it's because you work for God. Am I lying? He said, I know it's because you work for God. That's why. I say, praise God. The mountains that the world cannot climb, you will climb it. Because it's not just you that is climbing it. You have somebody who is lifting you up. Until you get to that place where people begin to acknowledge that indeed you are the blessed of the Lord. Can we just rise up? Why don't you just thank God for his word today? Just give him all the glory. Give him all the praise, for he's a good God. Just bless the name of the Lord. You are blessed this morning because the word of life has been spoken into your life and has that ability to change your life. And I can tell you, when you go with this word, when you go with the promises of God, when you go with the covenant of God, when you go with what you have had today, your life cannot be the same again. That is the distinguishing factor. That is the light that shines on top of your head that marks you out in the crowd. From today, you are a different person in the mighty name of Jesus. Begin to thank God. Begin to thank him. Begin to thank him. Because he is such a faithful God, because he is so true to his words, none of his words will fall to the ground without accomplishing the purpose of which he has sent them. And they will be true in your life from today. Just begin to thank God. Say, Father, I thank you. Thank you because you are so true. Thank you because you are yea, because you are amen. Thank you because I've heard you, O God, and I'm set free. O Lord, I give you my life. Father, I give you my life. Lord, I give you the totality of my life. Take my life, use, let it be consecrated to you forever. Blessed be your name, O God. In Jesus' mighty name, please let's close our eyes. Close our eyes. You are in the congregation right now. You have never given your life to Christ. You have not never accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. You have not come to him and said, Father, I repent of my sins. Remember, it's righteousness that will establish you. The blessings of God that we are talking about is because of your righteousness in Jesus. That will come upon you and come upon your seed. So this afternoon, you are going to be a partaker of that place of that blessings of God. If you have never given your life to Christ, please, can you just lift up your hand to the Almighty God now and make that commitment? Just raise up your hand to God and say, God, I want to declare you as my God. I want to declare you as my Lord and my Savior. If you are in the house, you have never made that commitment and say, Lord, I repent of my iniquities and I come before you, O Lord, take me. Take me. Take over my life. I come under the authority of your Lordship. You have never done that before. Please, can you just lift up your hand to the Almighty God? You've done it before, but you no longer live that way. You are in the same category. Can you just lift up your hand to the Almighty God? God is willing to welcome you home because he really wants to do you good. He wants to do you good. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for your word today. We return all the glory to you, O God. Even as I've shared with your people your unfailing love and your inexhaustible abilities, my Lord and my God, these people will find you to be so in Jesus' name. As many as have taken that word and hold on to it, knowing that their lives depend upon it, they will find you to be so in Jesus' name. Your faithfulness will sustain them in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. All the glory will return to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we share the grace in fellowship? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and our sweet fellowship.